Throughout these conversations, we use colourful language and discuss topics of an adult nature. Listener discretion is advised.
It was a very funny story because coming out with a big publication like Vogue, you're given time when you need to post it, specific time and date. It came at the same time as we were on a job in Moscow doing a show. The timing was 8 for the publication and 8 was the time that the show started. So we literally needed to post it while all dressed up, ready to go in the lineup backstage.
Welcome back to Interview, a brand spanking new DIY podcast conceived to center and celebrate intersex stories, visibility, diversity, and most importantly, joy. I'm your host, Danny Coyle, aka Intersexy.
We had the same casting director who casted, like helped us with the article and casted us to the show was there. And we were all like talking to him, being like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Because it was, he literally took our phones because we couldn't take it with us or hide it anywhere in the pockets or anything. So we posted it and went on the runway.
Today, I'm chatting with intersex twins, Sasha and Sonia Komarova, models and creatives based in Riga, Latvia. After coming out in Vogue Russia with a stunning editorial last March, they joined the global chorus of intersex activists demanding the end to non-consensual surgeries, stigma and shame. After meeting them both and including them in my intersex portrait series in Paris last year, we catch up, reminisce and talk all things life, fashion and intersex.
If you just like to start with introducing yourself, because it's going to be rather confusing with two voices that sound very similar.
Hello, my name is Sasha Komarova. I am 21 years old and my pronouns are they, she.
Hi, my name is Sonia Komarova and my pronouns are also they, she. And I am a model and a filmmaker. I'm also 21 because we're twins.
I love it. How are you both? It has been a month or two since I've last seen you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yes, it's been definitely an exciting couple of months, a very eventful start of the year. But, you know, so much positivity and so many interesting new people we've met on our journey. And you are one of them. So thank you for having us on your podcast.
I'm super glad to have you on. And, you know, after meeting you earlier in the year, you know, your story even so far is so interesting. And sort of the work you do is so incredible. I don't want to pathologize this further and sort of like focus on the more medicalized aspects of being intersex. But I think sort of between friends and between intersex people, and within this context, it would be nice to sort of, if you're comfortable in doing so, sort of explaining a little bit more about your personal intersex variation, sort of how that manifests physically, personally, and then also sort of how you found out you're intersex.
Our variation is Swyer syndrome, and we found out quite late when we were
19, almost 20.
And that was because in our hometown in Russia, the doctors would not diagnose us. And only when we went to the doctors in Moscow did they say, oh, go check for your karyotype. And that's how we found out. So it was very nice and...
Not freeing, but clarifying.
To finally know.
Yeah, because I remember talking to you about this a little bit in Paris, and you guys were saying that actually it was really nice to finally have some answers. Is that kind of how you feel now, especially like coming out as well?
Yeah, because sometimes with people you would talk about when we were not out, or at least for me, that was definitely the case. It would be the whole thing. Like if you would get into it, you would have to explain all of it. But now, sort of because we're out and people, well, hopefully know it already. If they're like reaching out on Instagram or something, they would see and you wouldn't have to come out every time you talk about this to a new person. So maybe it makes it easier.
Yeah, totally. Like everybody can sort of look up not look up about you first, but do you know what I mean? It's kind of what you lead with rather than what you kind of feel like.
Well, everyone looks up when you meet new people nowadays, you always look them up on internet. So
exactly. And I feel like before it was very much something that I felt like I had to figure out the best time to sneak into a conversation and when best to do that. Da, da, da. But now it just isn't that. Now it's very much you sort of lead with it or it just doesn't come up at all, which is like great.
Or also I wanted to add, a lot of the time before it was the question either like, oh, do I take time to explain now all of it? Or do I start like answer the question, just brush it off or lie? But then it would turn into like a snowball of having to like, what's happening? It's a lot easier now.
But yeah, so talking about coming out, could you tell us a little bit about how you did that? Because it is the most bougie, extravagant way that anybody could possibly come out.
It was a very funny story because coming out with a big publication like Vogue, you're given time when you need to post it, specific time and date. So for us, it doesn't really matter, but it came at the same time as we were on a job in Moscow doing a show. And the timing was 8 for the publication and 8 was the time that the show started. So we literally needed to post it while all dressed up, ready to go in the lineup backstage. And we had the same casting director who casted, like helped us with the article and casted us to the show was there. And we were all like talking to him being like, oh my God, this is so crazy, because he literally took our phones because we couldn't take it with us or hide it anywhere in the pockets or anything. So we posted it and went on the runway.
Yeah. Also on the day when I posted it, I turned off all the notifications on Instagram or anything like that. And then after the show, we went out with a couple of our friends and spent just like quality time. I was not thinking about what was happening, like the people commenting or replying or reading it. It was nice to like post it and then take a step back. But how it came about is we worked with Vogue a couple of times already, and we are friends with some of the people who work there. And our agency sent them like, hey guys, here's a story that we think would be great for you. And they got really interested and they were very involved. They did a lot of research and preparation and the team was incredibly supportive. And I just can't be more grateful for that experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like you've showed me some of the pictures and they just like, it's literal art. Like I'm so thankful that you guys, put your story out there. And I think it was done so, obviously I can't read the article, but the pictures were done so subtly and sort of really interlaced with history, but then and then future. And, you know, it was just beautiful. And I can't wait to get my copy in the post.
Thank you.
In the Russian sphere, especially in fashion, it was kind of nice to show that there is space for activism and for intersex people talking about their experiences, not only, you know, in like a medical journal or something, but also that it has a place to be there.
And what is kind of like the situation for intersex people like in Russia at the moment or today, or even the queer people in general, but specifically intersex people?
So, I mean, queer people in Russia definitely don't have a great time at the moment. When it comes down to intersex people, there is a huge problem with like medical research because most people like us don't get diagnosed and have to travel to capital. And, you know, Russia is huge, so not everyone can travel to Moscow or St. Petersburg maybe as well to get diagnosed or get treated or, you know, get a proper hormonal testing. And that can be quite dangerous for some variations or some intersex people. And even in Moscow, the doctors can say the most strange things, obviously suggesting to hide it, very unprofessional. You know, they can say like, oh, say you've been in a car crash, no one's going to marry you. And that's, I don't believe that that's something a medical professionalist should say. But for queer people in general, in Russia, there is a, not so much maybe with public, although that does take place as well, but on a legal level, queer people struggle a lot because there's a law. It's phrased against propaganda of, but they use it for everything to push queer representation out of television, internet, and anything like that.
So it is hard because some people who do activism work for queer people in Russia, they can't work with queer youth because this is illegal. They can't do education materials for kids. And even sometimes when they do it for adults, it also can be labeled. For example, if you work with kids, like Yulia Tsvetkova, the very big case in Russia, she was working with children's theater. And because of her activist work outside of it, she was she fell under this law because she works with kids outside of her activism work. So it's very hard right now to kind of navigate the realities of being queer in Russia right now.
Yeah, I remember speaking to you before about this is maybe why the intersex movement is maybe trying to separate themselves a little bit from the queer movement in Russia. And it, in order to sort of bypass these laws, how does that work when it comes to intersex activism? How do intersex people sort of avoid getting you know, put down with these laws?
Well, there is a lot of active explaining that, like, intersex people are not part of the LGBT in Russia on their, like, social media or anything like that to avoid the laws. And also, it is a lot more medically focused.
It is all rooted in this problem of trying to communicate to kids because they are the ones who are being most at risk for involuntary surgeries to intersex kids. And also, intersex Russia and other kind of intersex activism groups in Russia create manuals for parents to read if they found out their kid is intersex. So it has, their work involves kids very much. So that is why they have to separate themselves from LGBTQ community so they don't fall under the law and can continue doing their great work. And so it is because of this that they have to do that.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. It's interesting that it is literally maybe like the opposite of what other people are trying to do elsewhere in the world, and the, sort of that forced hand because of the law in Russia, because so many other groups in Europe and in the States that I know of are trying so much harder to sort of have it under the guise of LGBTQIA. And it's really saddening to think that that kind of divisive sort of laws are pushing people away from support.
It is because historically, when LGBT groups and some help centers would get funding in the West, the intersex communities would try to include themselves so they would have also the help they needed. But in Russia, it's exactly the opposite, where because they, to help, they need to separate.
Yes, I wanted to add, it does seem very counterintuitive, because I do believe that, you know, intersex people have a lot in common with the LGBT community and share a lot of similar struggles. But and obviously, together, we are a lot stronger than fighting on our own. But I think that is kind of the reason why that law exists, is to break us up into smaller parts so we would be less powerful.
Yeah, no, exactly. I couldn't agree more. It's a really difficult situation, and it's why having you guys being so vocal and, you know, being sort of pillars of the intersex community in Russia is going to be so important. And what's the kind of situation like in Latvia where you're living? Is it similar or is it completely different?
we're not so well-versed here, but Latvia is still a very conservative country, which comes to their treatment of LGBTQ and intersex people. So we didn't talk too much to doctors and had the chance to talk to them here. But I would assume it is closer to Russia than, for example, more accepting countries. So there is no talk about banning surgeries or anything. It's all very, very underrepresented here, I think. But yet again, I didn't have the chance to experience it my own, so it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it's sad. Like, I feel like so many countries are sort of tipping center right at the moment, I think, which has kind of been brought on by sort of the COVID pandemic. So many people are scared and uncertain, which often sort of manifests itself in, you know, looking for someone else to blame. And often that is, you know, the queer community, the immigrant community, anybody who has less power, you know. But yeah, I think also it's only very recently since, I mean, the UK hasn't talked about banning these surgeries at all, but I know Germany has now. But even if hospitals have banned intersex surgery, there's always a loophole. You know, they haven't sort of based banned these surgeries barring the people who actually need them for medical reasons, but there are always loopholes. Yeah, I don't think any country is kind of there yet.
Sadly.
Sadly. Since maybe 2015, there has just been an explosion of voices of people coming out, and we really are, I think, on the first wave of it, and there's just so many more to come. And even just looking at all the people that are out now, the diversity within those voices is incredible. And that's just going to grow and grow as more and more people come out, you know?
And I wanted to thank you personally, because you were also a big help. Like, even before we knew you personally, when we were coming out, just seeing you and your platform, how you use it.
That's so nice, honestly. No, but this is what absolutely warms my heart, you know, like, this is what it's all about, because now somebody is going to say the exact same thing to you. It's literally domino effect. It's all good. Okay, so we've talked about what's it's like being intersex in Russia and Latvia. But what is it like being intersex in the fashion industry and as a model? What's that like? Because I'm sort of, you know, we're kind of in similar industries in a way, but you guys are definitely more model end and I'm definitely more media end. But I would love to hear, you know, your experiences just sort of living your life.
We've only had a few months being out as a non-binary and intersex in the modeling industry. And obviously with COVID, we haven't been working that much. But I can already feel the problems that we might face based on our experience before that in the modeling. So for example, you know, all the agencies are split into like men and women section. And there's... even though there are shows that are mixed and kind of like try to erase gender in the clothes, the process of booking models and the behind the scenes is still very, very, very gendered. And even like we did a great interview with models.com, which we're incredibly thankful for. But even they have like a top woman, top 50 women models and like top 50 men models. They don't have a lot of like accommodation for non-binary people.
And that is not only the problem with the whole industry, that it, I think it starts with gendering clothes and then it spirals on into dividing male models, female models, and kind of not leaving space for non-binary people. But I think it is changing. Fashion industry is incredibly welcoming, or at least it tries to be. I don't know, it could be argued, is it for marketing, or is it an actually genuine desire by the people there? I think it partially both, but yeah, I think it is working very hard to change itself and be more inclusive.
I could be an optimist, but I truly believe that fashion is doing it not just for marketing, because there's a lot of controversy and like problems that come with supporting LGBT community in some markets as well. But there's so many incredible queer people working in the fashion industry, and it historically through the years, it has always been the place where LGBT people found success and shelter in a way. So I do believe that the fashion industry is changing with the good intention at heart. And it is, compared to other industries, it is incredible how much progress has been already made and is going to be made in the next 2, 3, 5 years.
Yeah, and we're also very, very grateful that it was never for us a question that we were never scared that we're going to lose our job if we come out. But for some people, that is the case. So for that, we're very grateful.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think, like you said, queer people have always been the pillars of one of the pillars of the creative industries, including fashion. And I mean, all of the people that I looked up to who are sort of pushing those boundaries are queer or, or marginalized in other ways. But I always feel like the best sort of the most creative people come out of situations that are difficult. And, we know all about that. fun. amazing. Okay. So in your opinions, not just within the fashion industry, but sort of within the world as a whole, what needs to change in the future in order to make intersex people's lives easier? What do you see as really rational next steps that you would love to help implement and see?
I think just more people coming out. I understand that this is not easy for everyone, but that would definitely spread awareness, and because of that, it would be much easier with every person who comes out, it is easier for more and more people, because more and more people already know what intersex is, and they don't ask stupid questions. And it just makes it so much more easy for people to be out. And when you're out, it's easier to speak about your problems and what do you want to be changed, and show that you're agreeing with other people's ideas of what needs to be changed, just because together we're stronger. So I believe that is the most important thing that needs to happen, I think. The first step, I would say.
I guess I would like to see intersex and non-binary people not only tolerated or accepted, but celebrated and considered valid and beautiful and talented and accepted for who they are.
Mm. And so what can sort of cis allies and, everybody that isn't part of the intersex community do to help us achieve those goals? What do you think the people who are listening to this who aren't intersex who aren't, or even parents of intersex children or friends of intersex people, what can they do to help that come into fruition?
Well, obviously, educate yourself, listen to stories that intersex people tell.
But this is already great. If you're listening to this, that means you're interested in the topic and that you're doing work to research stuff. I think this is very important, just to be eager to help and understand and learn. It is very important.
I also wanted to add that it's important to call out people whose behavior maybe show microaggressions towards queer or intersex people. And just because it doesn't affect you doesn't mean that it's okay for you to walk past and ignore.
Yeah. No, it's so true. It's so easy, to make yourself your own lives easier. That can really mean the difference between life and death in other situations. Many microaggressions add up, and somebody's comment may feel you know, flippant, but after 20 in a day. And I don't think non-visibly queer people, I mean, I have cis passing privilege, but I haven't always had that. And, you know, people don't really realize how frequent that harassment can be. It can happen several times a day. So it really adds up. And just to have somebody, even if they're a stranger on the street, sort of stick up for you, what an incredible thing. So yeah, no, I think they're very, very nice points. Okay, so we've talked about some of the more serious things. I really wanted this podcast to celebrate the diversity within the intersex community, you know? So we're all like living everywhere, doing all different kind of industries, doing all really cool shit. But the thing that sort of ties us together is being intersex and also working really hard to increase intersex visibility and awareness, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about joy for a second. What has being intersex given to your life personally? And what are you grateful for about being intersex? Because I know there are so many things that are so challenging, but what are some of the good things?
I think for me, being intersex has given this experience that shaped me in a way that I am very critical of the social roles that our social gender roles, and that it kind of, I don't know, maybe because I think about it so much now, and being like, also because my friends and people who I know ask me lots of questions, because I like, we are these people who, oh, you can ask all the, because I'm very open and I like talking to people about this, even if they're like very confused and don't, but usually they ask very cool questions. And I don't know, I think it's given me this like conversation starter with people where they feel they're open to talk to me about stuff they maybe don't understand or want to know more about. And it is very cool to see people you would never expect to ask these questions, be really interested and supportive and kind of understand that they don't know the topic a lot. And I really enjoy those small conversations I have with people in my life.
Yeah, I think that's so nice because it's so easy. I know I felt like this many days, to sort of judge somebody else to avoid having that conversation or assume that they're going to be closed-minded or da da da. But then actually so many times, you know, you start these conversations and actually everybody is very receptive and really just shocked, but not in like a disgusting way, but like shocked in a, oh my God, I can't believe we've never been taught this. Like, I can't believe this exists and I had no idea. And it's they're almost upset for you because it's like, how have we how have we got this far and we're not talking about this? And yeah, those kind of conversations are really soul warming.
Definitely. Well, I completely forgot the phrasing of the question by now, but I wanted to say that I am very grateful to be on this journey with my twin sister. And this is like one of the most incredible lucks of my life. I'm going to sound salty, but I love my sister a lot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been very nice because you have this person always to talk. You know, people always say, oh my God, you're twins. It must be so nice. But it actually is, especially when you have these like similar struggles.
It makes it a lot easier to go through them together.
I've said this to you so many times when you were in Paris. I just, you know, such a, what we assume to be inherent about the intersex experience is sort of its rarity and it's sort of like the dispersion geographically of us, so we can't really be close to one another. But you guys literally shared a womb and have managed to go through this entire journey having that kind of support of your best friend. And even within the intersex community, there's so much differentiation and diversity, which I've said so many times now. But, you know, so even within that community, it can be very difficult to find somebody who sort of relates to even your struggle. You may be both be intersex, but you might have completely different variations. You may have been grown up in completely different cultures. You might have been grown up in completely different religions. Like, da-da-da. So it's very, very difficult to find someone even within the community that has a similar experience to you. And you guys were literally born with that you know, best friend person to talk to. And it's such an incredible thing. Like, it literally blows my mind to think about how much of a difference that would make if every intersex person was born with a twin, you know? It's crazy.
But where's the petition to do that?
Say again. Did you both say that at the exact same time?
Yeah.
That is siblings, twins, relationship for you. That is crazy. That is so funny.
We always say the same time all the time. So that's why we need to do the pointy thing, because like we would just speak in unison, like
a stereo sound
all the time.
Oh my God. Every single person listening to this is so jealous right now, I think. Or is it just me? Amazing. That's incredible. And what are you guys up to now? Like, what are you up to at the moment in Latvia at school? What kind of fun projects are you working on? And what can we expect in the future from you both?
It's been crazy the past, like, I think a month. Just so much stuff in uni, and also because we were in Moscow. Just
taking a little break.
Living life there. Yeah. But honestly, I want to do a film this summer, like film something, but I always say that. So
Sonia, give us the hot take. What would you film a film this summer about?
Like a queer date by the lake. I have the script in the works. I think that would be so cool, but I would need some help with the equipment. But I think if my friend who is studying to be a cinematographer in UK will come for summer, then I think it will happen. But you know, it's always so.
It's a great script. I read it. I really liked it. Yeah, you should film that. That's good.
I'll work on it a bit and send it to you, Daniel.
Yeah, I want to see it. And if you need any help, you know I'm here.
Follow us on Instagram and see what we're up to.
Talking about Instagram, this is probably going to be such old news by the time this comes out. But the pronouns, it's still unavailable for us because I suppose our Instagram is on Russian. Apple Store, and they only translated the pronouns to English, and they did a great job of blocking all the nonsense pronouns like normal or the she / wants me, you know. So that's like from Instagram, it's one of the coolest things that came out in a while because they've been doing some weird shit lately, but this is mad respect for that to them.
I have never heard of these like weird pronouns that you were saying about. What do you mean? Like she wants it? Like what?
But it's just people who like troll pronouns. You know, what are your pronouns? My pronouns are normal.
Oh, I've never heard of this.
Nor / mal.
Okay.
You're on a good side of TikTok then, because I see a lot of that.
Yeah, probably. My echo chamber is holding up.
Yeah, they blocked all of those. They blocked even like male ones or like just like the things that people use to belittle, the importance of putting pronouns in your bio. And they took time to...
Yeah, that's very cool. I just hope it will get translated or at least like added to other languages sooner.
Yeah, because I read that it's in the UK, Australia and America at the moment. But obviously it's difficult when you've got gendered languages. I wouldn't know how they would do it.
Yeah, because for now in Russian, there is they, but it is not as popular now. Most of the non-binary people I know in Russia just say that they use whatever pronouns because it's easier than using the, because there is whereas in English, they could be used in the singular. In Russian,
that's a lie. So они in Russian is singular.
Well, yes. Okay. I also agree that it should be like that. But it is not as widely recognized as they in English.
But then in English as well, they is often argued to be not singular. This is a big argument, how the people that, you know, are.
But this is completely not true, because a lot of times you ask if you don't know whose thing it is, you say, oh, somebody left their bag. It's completely like natural to the English language, I think.
No, I completely agree. This is often just an argument, you know, a badly thought out argument that people whack out at a dinner party when they're just a little bit confused. But yes, completely agree. Well, that is a great thing. Good job, Instagram. If you're listening, Instagram, you've done a good job there. Well done. Do you have any last final thoughts before, you know, before we pop off for the afternoon? Anything else you'd like to talk about or say?
I think that maybe if you're listening to this and you're intersex and you want to talk to someone, please text to me. I would really love to talk. I don't know. I feel like, but even if you're not and you have like normal questions that are okay, Google maybe them first and then text me if you're an ally wanting to find something out. But yeah, just slide into my DMs, guys. They're very open. I probably should not say that on the internet.
No, that's really nice. Honestly, talking to each other, I feel like is such a blessing. And this is exactly where the photography project interface and in like this podcast series is like come from that space. Like what a blessing to be able to just sort of be friends. Like that sounds really lame, but you know, spending years and years, I don't know about you guys, but there are many years when, you know, before I came out and when I was younger and I didn't think there was like another intersex person in the country. So to be able to have literally a big group of friends now that are all intersex, what a blessing. And especially ones that you really look up to and we can all learn a lot from each other and, you know, be each other's cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's this old Soviet cartoon where a cat would be like I guess he was a hippie or something because two mouses would quarrel and his catchphrase would be like, let's just all, давайте жить дружно, let's all live as friends. That does not translate very well. But just like, yeah, be kind, be nice to people, be respectful.
We love it.
Be gay.
Pro-gay.
In Russia, yeah.
Okay, well, this is now banned in Russia, so great.
No, but they don't speak English, so it doesn't matter.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
And you know what? I got away with doing the whole podcast with a cat by my side.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it didn't scream.
No, he's just like dead with the sun. He's asleep.
Okay, I think that's everything, guys. Thank you so much for spending the time. Love you too.
Yay.
Have a good one. Ciao.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you so much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed and learned something from it. If so, I ask that you take these learnings offline and share them with your family and friends, joining us on the quest for intersex justice. Conversations like these really help to depathologize, raise awareness, and build empathy for the intersex community. I hope to see you next time. Music and editing by Dennis Herter. Custom lettering and artwork by Vivian Hoffman.